Well, hello and welcome once again to our traditional service here at St Andrew's and All Saints Online. Thank you for joining us, and we do hope that actually over this last week you've known God's peace and God's comfort and God's strength with you in these difficult days. And we come again this morning a Palm Sunday, the start of Holy Week, to come and lift our eyes together again to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who knows us and who watches over us. Peter's going to be sharing some thoughts on Palm Sunday with us later on, and we're also going to be sharing communion too. And if you'd like, as a symbol, as we've encouraged you in the previous weeks, to just grab some bread and some wine or grape juice for you to have at home as a symbol of communion that we're taking this morning, then we'd love to invite you to join us that way. A prayer, first of all, as we begin on Palm Sunday. We have come to meet you today, Jesus. In this time of uncertainty and loneliness, of isolation and fear, we come to you to seek your peace, to seek your comfort, and seek your healing. We acknowledge that you are the one who meets our deepest needs. And today, Palm Sunday, we come humbly, laying our coats before you. Reveal to us who you are, how you can be a saviour in our lives, and a saviour for our world today. Come, Lord Jesus. And so on page 21 in our service booklets, we say the opening words. The Lord be with you and also with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And our first hymn today, as we think of welcoming Jesus on this Palm Sunday, is 109, Crown Him with Many Crowns. We remember Jesus, the servant king, the king who came riding in on a donkey all those years ago at the start of the first Holy Week. Crown him with many crowns. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity. And just recognizing that God is King, we come now to confess and come before Him to say sorry for where we've got things wrong this week, where we've not lived as God would want us to live. Page 22. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. And God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect, the special prayer for today, Palm Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you now and forever. Amen. Our Bible readings today are taken from Psalm, first of all, Psalm chapter 118, and some selected verses from there. We're going to read verses 1 to 2 and then 19 to 29. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Why don't we pause for a moment and just allow those words to really sink deep into us. And maybe give thanks to the Lord for something that is good from this week. And just give thanks to the Lord that we can trust that He is good and His love endures forever. And our New Testament reading is the reading of the triumphal entry from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And Peter's going to come now and share his thoughts with us.
Good morning. Today is Palm Sunday, and it is the day that the Christian church remembers Jesus riding through the gates into the holy city of Jerusalem, into the seat of power of his enemies. Dare I say it, riding through the gates into the viper's nest. Palm Sunday is a gateway for you and I as the Christian church. It is the gateway into Holy Week, the final days of Jesus' life. The day, that the week, the Holy Week, the week when we recognise and remember Jesus' final few days, his ultimate arrest, torture and death on the cross. I'd suggest that within this final week of Jesus' life, he lived and breathed the full range of human emotions. He lived out almost the full human condition in those final days. There was no human experience he didn't encounter. And so this morning, I would like us to attempt to join with the disciples who were journeying with Jesus and try to engage with what they must have felt during that final week. It'll only be a snippet, but I think it has something in here for us to learn. So let us start with Palm Sunday. Imagine the crowds. Imagine the noise, the screaming, the shouting, the raising cries of Hosanna, the hustle and the bustle, the expectation and the hope. And how would you feel as you saw Jesus riding on that donkey? we'd probably feel excited, energized. The Messiah had finally arrived. This was the moment we had all been waiting for. Here's our King. We'd have been seeing the strength and the confidence and the assuredness and the hope within our celebration. Perhaps in our hearts we would have been going, yes, yes, yes. This is a time of hope. That's what we'd have all been feeling. That's the beginning of the week. We then later see Jesus going into the temple and turning over the tables. He was angry, but strong. And again, there was a clarity of purpose about him. He was disrupting the rulers of the time. He was confronting the status quo. Again, if you and I had been there, I wonder what we would have felt. I think I would have felt excited, again, energized and confident. Here was a strong Jesus finally making a difference and showing his hand. I'd have been excited and hopeful and expectant. Then later on, we see Jesus during this week. He continues to teach and to comfort and to reassure his followers. Again, here we see Jesus, the wise, the comforting, the assurance, the clarity of vision that he would have been sharing. Again, I wondered how you would feel if you were listening to him. Would you have been wowed by his wisdom, excited and assured by his wisdom and the truth that he's sharing? Then we move to Thursday, what we call Maundy Thursday, and we find Jesus picking up a bowl of water and a towel and starting to clean the disciples' feet. Imagine him cleaning your feet. Okay, is this the act of a triumphant king? Is this really what a majestic, powerful leader should be doing? This is a menial job. He keeps talking about going away, that this is our last supper. How would I feel? I think I'd start feeling uncertain about where is Jesus going with all this? Why is he talking about going away? Why is he doing these menial jobs? This isn't quite what I expected. I think I would start to feel unsettled, perhaps confused. I might even be angry with Jesus for what he's doing. And then later that evening, we walk to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's dark. It's late at night. And Jesus goes away on his own to pray. We see him weeping and pleading in his prayers, even sweating blood in his anxiety and perhaps fear. Is this weakness? Is this strength? Where is, again, that strong, confident, triumphant Messiah that I want to believe in? As a disciple, I'm now getting worried and anxious. What is going on? I'm uncertain and unsettled. And then again we see the soldiers arriving to arrest Jesus. They take him away. He is put on trial. He is sentenced. He's mocked. He's beaten. He's tortured. He's then murdered on a cross. We see a Jesus who is betrayed. He is abandoned. He is deserted. He is stripped naked and made vulnerable and exposed. He's unprotected and alone. He's helpless. He's weak. Where is this strong, triumphant leader and Messiah, the salvation of the nation of Israel. How would I be feeling at that time if I was there, one of his disciples, alone, my dreams shattered, afraid, confused, panicked, distressed and sorrowful because I've also seen a friend beaten and killed. My hope for the future shattered and gone. And that leads us to Saturday. Silence. Nothing. Where is God now? As a disciple at that time, I would have been bemused, traumatized, lost. There's nothing but silence from God. But of course, we know the good news, don't we? We know that Jesus overcomes death and rises again in glory. And we know he is alive today. And if you are a Christian, you will know his love and the reality of his love. Hope is alive. Hope rose from the dead, and hope is alive today in the person of Jesus Christ. Holy Week was and is and is meant to be for us as a people of faith an emotional roller coaster. I wonder if you've managed to get a taste of that as we've raced through Holy Week and imagined what some of it might have been like. I think it's safe to say that we are more at the beginning of this coronavirus crisis at the moment than we are at the end. We are at the beginning of this journey, and it's going to be a long one. But in light of Jesus's journey through his Holy Week, I wonder which point of his week you most relate to this morning. Are you feeling positive and upbeat, as if it's Palm Sunday, that stage where you're seeing a strong and confident Jesus walking on into Jerusalem? Are you perhaps feeling a little bit more unsettled, like that early parts of that Thursday day, wondering what Jesus is up to and why is he talking about our Last Supper and going away? Are you beginning to feel despair or fear, as you might have felt with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Or do you feel alone and abandoned, as Jesus must have felt having been arrested and taken into custody? I know one or two of you are beginning to know people who know people who've died because of the coronavirus. And therefore, are you someone who is beginning to experience the sorrow and the grief of death? As Jesus had died, the disciples would have experienced that. And Jesus knew what it was to grieve because of the loss of his friends earlier in his life. And of course, he grieved over humanity. Are you in a time of grief today? Or perhaps you feel like the disciples did on that Saturday, that time of utter silence after Jesus' death. Where is God in the midst of all this? I have to say, today and in recent days, I've personally felt like I've been in a Palm Sunday time. I feel confident and hopeful and excited and positive. But certainly last week, at the beginning of last week, I was definitely part of a Thursday day feeling unsettled and uncertain, not quite sure where this is all going and what I can do and to contribute. And I was certainly feeling like those disciples would have been on that Thursday. What on earth is going on? I wonder where you are this morning. Wherever you are, we are all on a journey, and that journey will continue to move forward. And this journey of the Holy Week is, I think, going to echo, or the coronavirus crisis journey will echo a Holy Week journey. But there are two critical things that I want us to know, and that is that journey begins with hope and ends with hope. The hope of Palm Sunday and the hope of Easter Sunday. And there is hope throughout all these things, even in the difficult time. And there are two things that I really want us to take hold of. The first is that Jesus is with us. There is nothing that you and I will feel and experience in this time that Jesus didn't himself experience. And therefore we can draw from him and draw him to us to help us journey this time. And the second thing is the hope that Holy Week ends in hope with that Easter Sunday. For every disastrous Friday, there is a resurrected Sunday. There is the hope of a Messiah, the true hope of Jesus Christ, who overcame all adversity, even death. He will be the comforter in our trials. He is the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our hope. And taking us back to Palm Sunday, there is hope in every palm leaf that was waved. There is hope in every cloak that was laid in front of Jesus on that first Palm Sunday. And so I want to encourage you this Sunday, perhaps to make a palm leaf. Cut one out of paper, or perhaps you've got gifts to be more creative. And why don't you write your hopes for this time on that? And then stick it up on a wall or on a window and use it as a thing to pray for over the coming days and weeks. Have it there as a reminder to pray for your hopes at this time. And even in the darker times of the coming weeks, there is hope because there is an Easter Sunday after every Good Friday. And so as we enter Holy Week through this gate of celebration on Palm Sunday, I hope that you can lift your hopes to God today. So happy Palm Sunday to you all.
Thank you so much, Peter, for that reflection. Let's just pause, shall we, and just bring our own thoughts to God, and maybe even bring our hopes to him on this Palm Sunday. Well, Peter's given us a very good overview of what is ahead this Holy Week. And we want to invite you to continue to journey with us at St Andrew's and All Saints online in the coming week. We're going to have a video reflection from one of our preachers and leaders every day this week, which we're going to put out on our Facebook page and also on our website. And we'd love you to just listen to that each day and just allow God to speak to you through that. There's also a really good opportunity if you are a creative type, and even if you think you're not, why don't you have a go? Is we're going to invite you to be creative and respond to those passages and those reflections each day by either painting a picture or maybe writing a poem or writing some prose or even giving us a video reflection on that. And we're going to invite you to either post it on our Facebook page under the relevant post. We'll put a post out each day for each topic, or to send it to us at creates@standrewsandallsaints.org, and we'll then pick those up and add them to our Facebook page if you're not on Facebook. And that way we can share each other's reflections and just have a great time in sharing each other's creativity. There's more details of that online that you can find, but we'd love you to join us and allow these deep stories, these really amazing stories, for God to minister to you through those this week. We're also going to have a special time on Maundy Thursday, where there's going to be some monologues that Ruth Gould and some of the Regent students are going to do to take us through the events of Maundy Thursday. And they're going to be online on our Easter services page from midday on Thursday. And you can either look at them at different points during the day, or you can actually sit down for an hour and work through all of them and just together reflect on the events of Maundy Thursday. Peter's also going to do a last hour at the cross service on Good Friday, and we're going to put that on our website too, available from noon on Friday. And then next Sunday we come together again for a big celebration on Easter Sunday. Again, there'll be a traditional service and a contemporary service. Do join us then. But all the details of all those things are on our website, www.standrewsandallsaints.org. We also are wanting to encourage you. Something which I'm going to do is to create an Easter garden in your own garden, if that is something that you're able to do. I've got my palm branches here, which I'm going to put out on Sunday in the front garden at the vicarage. And over the week, we're going to build up different stations of the Easter journey. And maybe you want to do something else in your garden, just to show something of Easter to your neighbours. And we'd love to take a photograph of anything you do and send it in to us. And then next Sunday, we'd love to just show some pictures in our service of what you've done and of your Easter gardens. I think it's a great opportunity to show that something of the Easter story to our neighbours at this time. As we prepare, come towards communion, we're going to start off by saying the creed together. And I'd love you to turn, if you've got books in front of you, to page 10. As we again declare the truth of what we believe, the truth of this week ahead. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And we're going to turn to prayer now. And one of the lovely things over this last week is we've heard how different members of our congregation are praying in really creative ways. And I just want to show you a little video of Margaret Buchanan, one of our All Saints congregation, who just explains a little bit of how she's been praying over these last few days. Some of you will have seen it already on our mailing, but for those who haven't, here's Margaret sharing her three P's.
Good morning. Last week, I wanted to make my prayer time a little bit more formal. I knew I wanted to pray for my family, for my friends, for my church, for my neighbourhood, for those who are on my heart. And so I just started to jot them down randomly on a piece of paper so that I didn't forget them. There's my little list written down very randomly. And then I thought to myself, well, what is it I'm wanting to pray for these people? And so I looked up some Bible verses about being anxious and fearful and felt that was what I wanted to pray for these people of my heart. And so there's a little list of Bible verses which I read out. Verses which say, "Don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And so before I prayed, I read out these verses, and that gave me a little bit of encouragement that I was praying for something positive. And then I thought, well, this really is incredibly random. Why don't I formalise it and make a proper list? And here's my proper list of all the people that I'm praying for, with the dates and with the ticks. So what am I praying for these people that are on my list? Well, the Lord spoke to me quite clearly and said, I want you to pray for three P's. I want you to pray for protection. I want you to pray for peace. And I want you to pray for provision. So two or three times a day, I sit down, I read those verses, I pray the three P's for those people on my list. And then I thank God that he is hearing my prayers and that he is in control and that whatever happens, we can trust him because our God is faithful. Thank you.
And so as we come to our own time of intercession now, why don't you in the quietness just think of three people who you would particularly like to pray for? And why don't you pray Margaret's three P's for them? Pray for protection for them. Pray for peace for them. And pray for God's provision for them. Let's offer those prayers to God. And as we continue our prayers, let's pray particularly for those who are sick at this time. For those at home sick and those in hospital sick. May they know God's peace and comfort today. We pray particularly for those who are bereaved, for families who have lost loved ones. May, Lord, they know your loving arms around them at this time. Let's pray particularly for those on the front line, those who are doing the really important jobs that are serving our community and putting themselves in danger as they do that at this time. We think of all those in the NHS, supporting those who are sick, all those who are working in shops, in food production, in delivery, getting food to our doors. We pray for the funeral directors working to offer the best service they can at a difficult time to grieving families. For the council workers, the teachers, the postmen, the emergency services. Lord, we pray for all these people that you would give them your protection, and that you give them your provision at this time, that they would be safe and have all that they need to serve you and to serve us. And we particularly pray for the millions of people around the world who've not got access to high quality healthcare and other resources that we have. And we think particularly of some of our mission partners, of those in the slums of Bangkok, where the Fletcher family are. And we think of the refugee camps around the world, where self-isolating and even hand-washing is barely possible. Lord, would you have particular mercy on these people? Would you protect them? Would you provide for them? Would you save them and give them your peace? And in the silence, I invite you to pour out your heart to God in prayer to him for what you need this day. And just in the silence, allow him to meet you and to give you rest for your soul. And finally, a prayer for Palm Sunday. Lord God, whose Son rode through the streets to a triumphant welcome, we welcome you today into our hearts. We ask you to enter our homes, permeating every hidden corner. Give us your strength and your peace. Remembering that many of those who shouted Hosanna on Palm Sunday cried Crucify on Friday, we ask you to help us remain steadfast in our faith. Lord, give us grace this Holy Week to follow in your Son's path from death to resurrection, from darkness to light. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we come now to gather around the Lord's table. But first, let's offer each other a sign of the peace. And if you've got people with you while you're watching this, then please do share the peace with them. If you haven't, then actually maybe share the peace anyway, trusting that actually through the airwaves, God would share that peace with others. So we are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Share with one another if you're able, or maybe send a text to somebody sharing the peace with them at this time. And so we come together around the Lord's table. We may not be together in person, but the bread and the wine unite us still as Christ's body and Christ's blood. So come and rest. Come and allow God to nourish each one of us again, to strengthen us for the days ahead, and to minister to us through the bread and the wine. You're following the books, page 32. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give him thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you didn't reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. And you embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. And he opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread. And he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And so as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. And so draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Lord Jesus Christ, you humbled yourself in taking the form of a servant, and in obedience died on the cross for our salvation. Give us the mind to follow you and to proclaim you as Lord and King, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And we're going to sing our final hymn today, which is number 33. And can it be that I should gain? amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? That's the message we're going to remember this week, this Holy Week. And we'd love to continue to invite you to join us as we journey through the week ahead. May this story, this amazing story, this life-changing, world-changing story, may it at this time just go deeper than ever before. May you experience and encounter the deep, deep love of God for you. May you experience something of the emotions that Jesus experienced, but may you more than anything know the hope of this story that we'll be celebrating this time next week on Easter Day. And so the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.